Hey, welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Mike Sklenz.
And I'm Evan Birchfield.
We got a lot to talk about this week. We might go a little bit over, which I'm sure will only make you happier. I know the more podcasts you get, the better.
That's the way I feel about it.
Our first topic this week is Nintendo says that New Super Mario Bros. Has sold over 500,000 copies.
Yeah, I didn't buy one. Did you?
No, I played my roommates.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a pretty good... obviously, Nintendo's very proud of this. They even went so far as to fudge the amount, the numbers as far as how many they sold per minute. They said, what was it, 20 units a minute they sold?
Mm-hmm.
And if you really do, Johnny sat down and did the math, and that's not correct. More likely 10 a minute or even less.
Yeah.
But they're obviously excited. They like New Super Mario Bros. They think it's huge, and it's going to sell. It's probably going to become one of the mainstays for the DS, but... It's just a really good game. I think nothing more.
I'm going to have to raise my issue is I really don't think it's that amazing. I thought it was good.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm saying, Mike. I'm agreeing with you.
I thought it was too short, and I thought it was a real bummer that you don't actually get to play. I think it was Worlds 2 and 7. You have to get to them in a different way by beating the boss of the prior world as Miniature Mario. So if you just go through the game the first time straight through, you're only going to 6 worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. And overall, I don't know, since they've decided to use the polygonal, if that's how you pronounce it, is it polygonal or polygonal?
I think it's
either or. What do you say?
I usually say polygonal.
So they've used a polygonal Mario. They also took his control scheme from the N64, Super Mario 64, and also to a bit from Sunshine. And I think that it's a little bit floatier as compared to something like Super Mario Brothers or all the ones on the NES, where you move immediately.
I don't know. If you go back to the original, it's pretty floaty.
I think it's, well, I wouldn't describe it as floaty so much, but I think that you just speed up a lot quicker. Whereas in this one, it feels like it takes a minute, really, to get you to full speed.
Perhaps.
That's the way I felt about the game. I don't know. It's still a really good game. We can't deny that. And 500,000 copies is great. It's just not this amazing. It's not new. It's just Super Mario Brothers.
It's a new Super Mario Brothers game, and it's not really that terribly new. But I guess that's sort of the appeal of it is that it goes back to the roots.
Yeah.
It's like the White Album of Mario games.
Okay, I can buy that. It's in stark contrast, though, to our friend, our blue friend, Sonic, who is fallen on hard times. Even though he's turned 15 years old, just hasn't had the same success as Mario. And in that sense, you know, New Super Mario Brothers is really again to be honored when compared to where Sonic's come. I grew up with Sonic. I had a Game Gear and I played those Sonic games, Sonic 1 and 2, on for the Game Gear. And I was the kind of guy who played Sonic the wrong way. You're supposed to play Sonic by playing him fast. You speed through the levels. You get as much as you can. It's about speed. And I would go through every single area and collect every little thing. And you can imagine how hard it was for me in Sonic Adventure, where I wanted all the rings, but the controls were so floaty that you couldn't actually get all the rings without spending a lot of time with it. So I kind of gave up after Sonic Adventure. I had to come back for Shadow the Hedgehog, and that game is so unfortunate, so depressing when compared to our previous Sonic outings. 15 years of Sonic, and what do we get? We get a gun-toting bad dude who is in the midst of an existential crisis, who doesn't know who he is because of amnesia, and all of this crap that amounts to really nothing. In the game, there's parts of the game that, depending on whether you choose to help the bad guys or the good guys as you progress through the game, you'll go through different levels. So if you start to help the bad guys, these aliens from another world, then you'll start going more into these alien levels where you help them even more. But if you help the good guys, then you'll start going through these other levels where you help humans and save animals and all this other ridiculous stuff.
Hey man, Sonic was founded on saving animals, okay?
Well, saving animals, I think that there's maybe not even that many animals you save. I think it's maybe like one or two. And that's the worst part though is that there's an actual portion of the game that takes place in a flashback. And depending on how you choose, whether you choose to help the good guys or the bad guys, it will determine the outcome of history. You'll actually, it's not time travel, you just go into a flashback and determine the game's story for itself. And it's the game's filled with stuff like that. It's filled with just all this ridiculous stuff.
Did you see the movie with Ashton Kutcher, The Butterfly Effect?
No, I did not.
Same mechanic in there where he somehow manages to change the future by changing what happens in his memory.
Really?
Yeah.
They got it from an Ashton Kutcher movie? I'm sorry, Mr. Naka. That doesn't sell me. I don't care. Sonic games are about moving fast, and when I played this game, I found myself I would go fast down a ramp, and then all of a sudden I'd run right into a wall because I had to know that I had to turn left and then turn right and go through this whole maze.
Yeah, the Sonic games are very much like that, where you need to know the levels to do well.
Yeah, and from what I heard from TYP is that the Sonic game on the Wii is a lot different than that. It's very much on rails, which is something that I promote. I think Sonic should be a lot more limited.
I thought it was. No, that game was terrible.
Really?
It's. Sonic runs constantly. Okay, he's just constantly running, and
Okay.
all you do is steer him left and right. Like, you know, you. It controls just like its Sight Truck, where if you tilt the controller to the left, it moves Sonic to the left, and if you tilt it to the right, it moves to the left, and if you pop it up, he sort of stops himself and then jumps immediately. It was terrible.
I don't know. That kind of sounds fun. I wanted to get over and play it. I
I
wanted
didn't.
to have a good
I
time
don't
with
think
it.
I know anyone who really liked it. It was like, well, you weren't there at E3 when the DS first showed up, but the DS game that they originally had for Sonic was, I guess, more of like a tech demo. It was just Sonic DS, and it was just Sonic running along a coastline, and all you did was rub the screen as fast as you possibly could to make Sonic run faster. That was the entire game. And
Wow.
this Sonic Wildfire reminded me very much of that early tech demo for Sonic DS, where it's just you're doing one thing, and it's really kind of boring because it's so on rails that the only thing you're ever really doing is tilting to the left or the right to collect rings. Like,
Well,
if you don't tilt, he still goes around the corner. It just doesn't go around it as sharply.
huh. Well, yeah, maybe that's not such a good idea, but I think with some refinement, I would rather do that than have to break up into exploration. I think that a 3D exploration game is not made for a fast character.
No.
I just think that they've failed in showing us that so far. I think in Sonic Adventure, it was much better divided. It was much more well divided between the fast levels and the slow levels. And they haven't showed that. They haven't showed that to be the case with Sonic Adventure 2 and Shadow. Those games were it's run fast and then explore and then run fast and then explore. There's driving portions of Shadow the Hedgehog
Ugh.
where you get into a Porsche and drive slower than you could walk. What's
I
I didn't know what to make of that. I didn't know what to make of that. I'm one of the people who's I've wrote, rated that game the lowest, I think, on Metacritic. I'm like second from the lowest on that one because I did the review. And I don't understand what other people saw in it at all. I really don't.
Beats me.
Rent it for a good time. There's an ending of the game, and I mentioned this in my review. There's an ending of the game where Shadow actually says to Dr. Eggman, "I'm gonna send you to hell," and then he actually kills him on screen. Actually kills Dr. Eggman by punching him, and then the screen goes black, and you hear Eggman go, "Ah!" It's like, what? This game is rated E for everyone. Apparently, everyone does not include those people who enjoyed Sonic as a kid. That game should have not been rated E. Anyways, enough of that. I mean, I could get infuriated about that. But there were better Wii games, definitely, at E3, and there were a lot of ones that we didn't get to hear anything about. And that actually plays into the listener mail that we got this week. A very
Yep.
very good question by Zyblorg. Question is, what do you guys think about the RPG prospects for the Wii? With Nintendo so actively courting the non-gaming crowd, I'm worried that they'll ignore RPGs, which are, after all, about the gameriest of games. I was hoping we'd see an improvement over the GameCube's meager RPG offerings, but now I doubt that will be the case. I'm not even sure how the Wiimote will work. It's a very good question. He goes on to say, if we do manage to get some role-playing games for the Wii, do you think we'll see BioWare-style titles, or will it all be Japanese-style RPGs? And I'll go and tell you my opinion. I prefer the Japanese style to the BioWare Oblivion Morrowind
Me
style.
too. My roommate had Oblivion, and it's just, I don't know, it's like too open for me. Like, it's literally like, here you are, go walk around and do stuff, and I have no motivation to do it.
Yeah. Unlike, and I see, to me, that works in a massively multiplayer game.
Yes.
In a massively multiplayer game, you're interacting with real people, and so all kinds of things can happen. You've got, I think that the system, the system for advancement in a massively multiplayer game is a lot more limited because of the ability for cheating and of they have to really make sure that everybody's balanced. Unlike in a console one such as Oblivion, or I should say a single player one, because it's on the PC as well. As far as the Wii is concerned, I think that we'll see RPGs. I know we've got Fire Emblem, which is more of a strategy RPG, and we're pretty sure that Disaster Day of Crisis is an RPG.
Seems like one.
It's really gotta be. It's gotta be.
Yeah.
I think. So those are two games. That's and they're both, as far as I know, launch titles. Or am I wrong? They're coming out soon
I don't
after
think,
launch.
I don't think Disaster Day of Crisis is a launch title, no. What was the other one?
The other one was Fire Emblem.
Oh, that probably won't be a launch title, no. Definitely not.
Okay, well, I'm completely wrong then. There won't be launch titles.
Well, there'll be that Dragon Quest game with, like, the 18 subtitles attached to it, but that's more of a swing-in-the-sword kind of game.
It's first person with a sword kind of thing, yeah. Well, I think that there's two things to consider. One is the classic controller. The classic controller will allow for games to be, for RPGs to be played in a traditional way. And the classic controller is a lot like a PlayStation 2 controller.
But do you even need a classic controller to play an RPG? I mean, if you're walking around, that could probably be accomplished with the D-pad. Maybe not.
Yeah.
As far as battles are concerned, all you need to do is, you know, select a menu item and press the A button. And you can do all that with the remote, no problem.
I agree, and it could even be that we'll see something more like Super Mario Galaxy, where you'll use the right hand to point at things and click on them, and you still use the left hand for your major controls.
If you're even using your left hand.
Yeah, well, I think that using the nunchuck for movement around a 3D world, and then the two triggers, the C and the Z, for any sort of action that you do in that world, use the A button for either jumping or for selecting things, and B button for using your cursor. I think that you could really that's a viable system. Mm-hmm. For controlling an RPG. I think there's even more abilities there. RPGs are, as in the Japanese style, are really more of a throwback to just point and click. There's a lot of things, you know, you move around in a Final Fantasy game, you move around a very linear world, and you go, you know, there's parts of Final Fantasy VII where you go on a direct, in Final Fantasy VIII even, a direct path. You do not leave that path ever. And you get to the next thing, you accomplish this, you move through the menus and accomplish something. There's nothing direct about it. People are complaining about the Final Fantasy XII battle style. I played a little bit of it at E3, and I don't know, I think that it might be what we need.
I couldn't be happier with that, personally. A little more active. Reminds me more of Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the kind of thing that I think that Final Fantasy XII as a game could be played on the Wii. And or on Wii, should I say, there's no the in it. I also think that a BioWare style, even more so, would work well on Wii.
Perhaps.
And something like that. However, the massive world would not be as communicable, nor do I desire such a game. But I don't think that the Wii is limited in its control functions for an RPG. It's just a matter of whether developers want to do it.
Yeah, well, I think his question is more along the lines of, is Nintendo going to support it? But if we look historically, Nintendo's first-party RPG support has been meager at best to begin with.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I have more fun with a game like Super Paper Mario, or I'm sorry, not Super Paper Mario.
I have to mention it every episode.
It was an accident. It was an accident, I swear. I'm a lot happier with Paper Mario than I am with some of the Square-style RPGs.
Yeah, just about the only RPG series Nintendo's that does it all is, well, you've got Mother and Mario and Luigi games, or Mario, Paper Mario. It's all the same style of RPG. And I love those games with the really active battles where you have to press buttons and that kind of stuff. Lots of fun.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that that we'll see on Wii. I don't think that Paper Mario is going to be excluded from the Wii as far as a promoted game. And also with Disaster Day of Crisis, that's a first-party title. If it's an RPG, then right there. They're committed to it. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's the question. Speaking of RPGs, Mike, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's one coming out for the 360 that stars everyone's favorite composer, Chopin.
Yeah, I heard about this. This is a pretty crazy game.
Frédéric Chopin is going to get to star in his own RPG. And the synopsis for the darn thing is so ridiculous. I couldn't believe that it exists. It actually is 3 hours prior to Chopin's death. He has a dream of a world where everybody who has terminal illnesses has special magical powers. This imagined world is cel-shaded in a Tales of Phantasia style, and apparently he goes through this world helping these terminally ill people because he himself was terminally ill and accomplishes things in this made-up world. I mean, a little irrelevant maybe because it's for the 360. I think that's hilarious.
I think it's going to be really completely trippy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it got me thinking, too, because it got me thinking about two things. The first one is, I don't think we have enough of these composer video game mixes. I think that really that we need to start branching out. I think that just let me throw this at you. Here's an idea for a game. Okay. Wolfgang, our hero, must travel through a nightmare Don Giovanni landscape and fight the ghost of his father. It's a platformer called Super Mozart.
Yeah, that sounds, trippy.
No?
Definitely, for sure.
Okay. No, I think that's a good one. Here, I got an even better one. Finnish nationalist / composer hired by the CIA to sneak into a terrorist cell and stop nuclear war. I think it should be called Metal Gear Sibelius. Good? Good?
Nobody's going to get that joke, but that's fantastic.
I think that's the wave of the future, is for video games and composers to come together. But it actually brings up another interesting point, which is that we don't hear classical music in video games very often at all.
Yeah.
And this Chopin game is going to be featuring almost back to back from cover to cover. We're going to hear Chopin music. The only game I can think of is Shadow Man, which had the Moonlight Sonata as the opening cinema. And other than that, there's not a lot.
I think the Ode to Joy was included with Mario Paint.
Does that count?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
It does.
I don't know. I think that's something. Obviously, film does it quite a bit. Video games being a medium that are built up from the ground, I can understand why it's not done.
Well, and there's also a licensing kind of issue there, isn't there?
Yeah, if someone records it. But they're at the point where they're recording music for your regular Super Smash Brothers game.
Well, yeah. If you're going to use a symphony, why not record some Mozart or some Bach?
Yeah, I think that the great composers would love to also conduct those symphonies, and in doing so, get a chance to insert something really exciting in the game. Sometimes I will play classic or even, rock music that is just fits the mood for a game and take out the soundtrack.
Oh, well, there's Tetris. We totally forgot Tetris.
Oh, yeah. Tetris. The Super Nintendo version of Tetris had the Nutcracker Ballet, didn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it did. So, yeah. So, it's one of those things that we just avoid. And with video game makers, I suppose, composers, because video games are built from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Our next topic is, apparently, according to French gaming website Jeu France, Ubisoft is going back and retooling certain parts of their Wii launch title Red Steel. Specifically, they are going to go back and put a lot of work into the sword fighting department. At E3, basically the sword fighting was, you may as well just be shaking the remote because all you're doing is triggering the accelerometer to make the guy swing the sword. Apparently they're going to retool it to where your motions are actually mimicked on the screen like everyone assumed it was going to be in the first place.
Yeah. I've heard some complaints, though, people saying that it'd be too hard to control that.
Whatever. These are the same people who haven't played a Wii game yet. And
yeah,
by and large, those games weren't too terribly hard to control.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that Red Steel needs a lot of work. My bigger complaint is not the sword fighting so much, because that's to me is not a make or break deal with the game. Obviously that's part of their advertising and their concept for it, but to me they just got to get the first person aiming down. They got to do what Metroid did, because if they don't do that, it will not be fun to play. So that's really what we've I think it's good that they are looking at the E3 press, though.
Yes, well, yes, that's the best thing about E3, is that you get all these gamers giving you a critique of your game in front of you. I remember when Mario Kart Double Dash first showed up, everyone said, "Man, this game is so slow." And and by the time it came out, it was definitely much faster. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was slower than 50cc is in the final version of the game. And a lot of that reason it was sped up was because of everyone talking, at E3 saying, "Oh my God, this game is so slow."
But don't you think Double Dash is also a really confusing game?
I don't like it. It's decent. It's fun for Mario Kart, but it's not that good overall.
I completely agree. But moving on from that, I was posted on our site. Did you hear about Stormbreaker?
Yeah, I heard about this. This is a movie that's coming out, comes out July 21st in the UK and October 6th in the US. Let me just give you the plot synopsis, and this is from a press release, so it also mentions why we're talking about this game, this movie in particular. Here goes the synopsis. After the murder of his uncle and guardian, the MI6 spy agency recruits the reluctant 14-year-old Alex Rider to take over his uncle's mission. Like any good spy, during training he receives a key piece of gadgetry, a hot rod red Nintendo DS. He also gets several game cards that transform his DS into an eavesdropping device, a wiretap detector, or a smoke bomb.
I love it
And
already.
let me just list off some of the bigger celebrities in this movie include Ewan McGregor, Andy Serkis, who many of you might not know who Andy Serkis is, but you've certainly seen him because he was Gollum in The Lord of the Rings and also did all the motion capture for King Kong.
Performance of the year as King Kong. How did he miss out on
Also in the film are Alicia Silverstone and Mickey Rourke.
that? Okay. Best cast ever for a product placement movie. But
Yeah.
also, there's more. There's going to be some big British stars as well, including Robbie Coltrane, who you see in the Harry Potter films as the big Hagrid. You Stephen Fry and Bill Nye. And if you've seen Shaun of the Dead, Bill Nye plays the main character's stepdad. And he was also in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. So huge cast, lots of big people. It sounds though it's going to be a big British thing, and they're trying to cash in on this. It was just like we were talking about last week, where you market the movie. You market it to death. And throwing the DS, do you think it's going to be a DS Fat or a DS Lite?
I don't know, they say Hot Rod Red, so I'm sort of thinking it might be an original DS. You know, the Mario Kart one was bright red, but it could be a custom cut, you know, DS Lite just for this movie.
They will be so lame to not do a DS Lite. It will not look good in the movie.
But I'm also looking at some of the things his DS is going to do. The first one, an eavesdropping device, that's pretty simple. You know, the device has a microphone built into it already and that kind of stuff. Not that I don't think it's of the quality you would need to eavesdrop. A wiretap detector, I could definitely, you know, we could all everyone in America kind of wishes, I guess, that their DS could detect wiretaps. Might make us feel a little bit safer. But my favorite has got to be the smoke bomb. I really hope we don't have kids trying to replicate this smoke bomb DS, and then their parents call up Nintendo like, "That movie made my child destroy his $130 DS."
Okay, yeah. Well, what other uses could there possibly be? I'd like to see some kid like attach it to a wire from his roof and try to swing a la Bond or something, or you know, I think that there's all kinds of ridiculous. The whole concept of the movie though just reeks of the wizard to me.
Yeah,
It
it's
reeks of
just
this.
very much that if you replaced Hogwarts with MI6, you have the, you know, you have a main character who's 14 years old, and his, you know, his parents in Harry Potter, it's his parents are dead, but in this movie, it's his uncle who is, you know, who has died.
And then he finds out about this spy stuff.
Yeah, and he has to follow in, you know, his guardian's footsteps.
Okay. Well, I really have to hand it to the British because this is a brilliant idea. Okay. So our best spy has just died. Who do we replace him with?
Not our second best spy,
No. No.
not our
No.
third best spy, not even our 200th best spy.
We're gonna get his 14-year-old nephew. Brilliant idea. We'll give him a toy and see what he can do. Okay, so I mean, I guess we shouldn't talk about the absurdity of the idea. I just don't know if I'm going to be totally interested in watching a movie about a kid with a DS, even if it does have people like Ewan McGregor and Bill Nye in it.
Well, I think the DS really isn't going to factor in. It's going to show up, you know, for like maybe a couple scenes kind of deal.
Based on this press release, I wouldn't be surprised if it was half of the movie. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a talking DS that narrated, that like was his smart talking sidekick, voiced by Eddie Murphy or something.
No, not Eddie Murphy. It's got to be voiced by a really hot English girl.
What? Okay,
They have the
Elizabeth
best
Hurley?
voices. Yes, Elizabeth Hurley. English
Okay.
girls have the best voices.
Okay, no, the guy who did the voice of the Knight Rider car.
Mr. Feeny?
Yeah, Mr. Feeny. Mr. Feeny as the voice of the DS. I think that is, why don't we make movies, Mike? We would do so much better than these
Why don't they
people.
just make it Hal from 2001?
Yeah.
I'm
Alex.
sorry, I can't do that, Alex.
I'm afraid I can't do that,
And
Alex.
then his DS starts singing Daisy at the end of the movie. That would be great.
Yeah, no, the DS should definitely talk. They are going to be missing out if it does not. Should be his sidekick. Otherwise, he's going to
He
be the real
can talk back
sidekick.
to it, and it can, they can make witty remarks towards each other.
It should be via PictoChat. Draw a little face in there that moves and animates. Yeah. Think of all the, considering that the DS is just a gateway, apparently, for children to get to be sexually harassed over the a 30-foot radius. I wouldn't be surprised if the movie has some sort of real real pathos to it, because consider this poor child who has this awful device. Imagine him going into PictoChat and being harassed by the villain. I think that's going to be a whole scene in the movie.
Where him and the villain are 30 feet away from each other and have a conversation via PictoChat.
Yeah.
No, he'll have to write out, "No, Mr. Ryda, I expect you to die."
That'd be great.
You
That'd be
draw a little
great.
picture of like Alex Rider hanging from a noose,
Yes,
perhaps.
yeah, this is you. Arrow to you.
Let's play Hangman.
Yeah, no, my favorite movie is Goldfinger. No, that's gonna be pretty classic. You know what, Mike? If we lived in the same state, I would say let's get all of our friends together and go. Let's
Oh
just
yeah.
go. But no one I know would want to go see this for the hilarity.
I will go see it at the local dollar theater for sure.
Yeah, it's I don't know if I can miss out on it. I still haven't seen The Wizard though. I'm eventually gonna get around to it, but I haven't seen it yet. Is it really on DVD? They said it was on DVD. I haven't seen it anywhere.
August something.
Oh, okay.
August something.
I was looking too soon.
It's only
So
out on
yeah.
DVD in Europe right now.
Any update on the Yui Bowl, your roommate getting?
I don't know. I'm not up at home this, well, I am at home this week. I'm actually at home, as in my parents' home, dog sitting while they're in Italy for their anniversary.
Wow, that's pretty cush.
Yeah.
I mean, you, not them, Italy,
Oh, I
whatever.
guess, except that I have nothing to do for a week. I have a very nice computer setup, though. I'll insert a picture of it into the podcast here for all you lucky people listening to the enhanced version.
Yeah. Oh, now you're gonna make everybody feel bad.
Well, they should be listening to that version. It's
Yeah.
better.
So, are you playing any video games while you're over there, though?
I've got Cars to review.
Oh, okay. For the GameCube?
Yeah, and I've got my DS with me, but I haven't really picked up my DS at all.
Okay, tell me if it's anything like Diddy Kong Racing, because I talked to the developer at E3 about it, and from the description of it, it sounded a lot like this big adventure Diddy Kong style game. I thought that sounded exciting, but I mean, if it's not.
I hope it's not like Diddy Kong Racing. I was not the biggest fan of that game.
What?
I get your platforming out of my racing game.
Okay. What?
Sorry.
Diddy Kong Racing? Okay, so according to Mike, Mother 1 and 2 suck. Diddy Kong Racing's no good. And Sin and Punishment's not coming to the US ever.
Sin and Punishment is not coming over here.
Just stop it right now. You're ruining my night already. I mean, these are all of my hopes. Why haven't they ported Mother 3, by the way?
Because they know it won't sell enough to bother translating it. Those guys on Starman.net can, they can love it all they want, and I certainly respect them for it because they're trying very, very, very hard.
As though only the people on Starman.net are, as though they're the only ones who love Earthbound.
No, but they're the ones trying the hardest, is I guess my point. But
I'm going to start an online petition. I think that'll do it. Let's start an online petition. I think
yeah,
it'll
you can
happen.
start with your online petition. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
I'll do an online petition, and then you just look out. When it comes over to the States, you'll eat your words.
What if I start a rival online petition to protest it coming out over here?
Just say, don't bring Mother 3. Don't bring Mother 3 to the US. Do you think Nintendo would probably just respond to yours because it was.
Well, how about this? I could offer them $35 to not do anything at all and just leave it in Japan, and they would make more money by doing that than they would by putting the time and effort into translating it and selling it. They would not see a return, which is why it's not going to happen.
Mike, your negative attitude has just, I feel like I'm a negative person. I get told all the time that I'm a big whiner and a baby, but you really take the cake. You really have crushed my soul once again.
Excellent. I guess that means that would mark the end of the podcast if I've once again crushed your soul.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Yep.
I'm gonna go eat a bowl of soggy Cheerios or something.
And water or milk? How depressing is this scene?
Probably both. I'll
All
water my skim down.
right, well, I guess we've definitely petered out, running out of topics if we're talking about Cheerios. So we will see you again next week. If you have any questions, comments, listener mail, we love listener mail. Please send it to podcast@planetgamecube.com. I've been your host, Mike Sklenz, and my co-host is Evan Birchfield, and we will see you again same time next week.
Later.